I think it's fair to argue that in the days and weeks leading up to the vote in the National Assembly regarding South Africa's fiscal framework, that the financial market participants anticipated that there would be an agreement between the DA and that the ANC, that there would be some sort of compromise, and that when you got to the vote in the National Assembly, there wouldn't be any real uncertainty about the outcome. As it turned out, obviously, that's not the case, but the uncertainty goes, I think, into now the political framework that South Africa finds itself in. So first, let's deal with the budget. What it means for the budget is that the budget that the Minister of Finance presented on the 12th of March, that's pretty much what will now be implemented, which means effectively from the 1st of May, the VAT will go up by 0.5%, and then presumably it'll go up by a further 0.5% next year. Now, and all the other policy measures will remain exactly unchanged. Within this agreement, though, there is a recommendation added to the fiscal framework that says we need to investigate alternative sources of income. And the government has agreed to that, which means effectively over the next 30 days, they'll be looking to see, are there other ways in which we can raise revenue that will allow us to avoid a VAT increase? And there's no guarantee they'll find those ways. In fact, I would assume they don't. The reason is because they had a couple of weeks between the first budget attempt and the second budget attempt where they looked at exactly the same topic and they didn't find any sort of alternative in terms of revenue collection. So why would they suddenly now miraculously find some alternative? So it suggests to me that, yes, we'll go through this month-long review and maybe in it government will agree to a much stronger measure in terms of looking at the expenditure framework and trying to improve the efficiency of government spending. But I'm not expecting that you're going to see a substantial change in terms of the sources of revenue, in which case the government would come back after 30 days and say, sorry, we've looked at it, but we don't think there's a better alternative. And so we're simply going to proceed with the framework that we've already got implemented, and therefore the budget will remain as we know today. And the other parties, I think, would simply agree to that. I don't think there'll be substantial backlash against that if that were to be the outcome. So the more important thing here is not actually the decision on the budget, certainly not a 0.5% increase in VAT. The more important and the more interesting component is, what does this do to the government of national unity? Because effectively, this is the ANC making a major policy decision without the vote from the DA, which tells the ANC that they don't need any of the major political parties in order to get this type of legislation passed. It didn't force them to go and partner with the DA, with the EFF or with the MK party to get this done. They simply partnered with the smaller parties. And that's a vital lesson that the ANC's learnt. It will embolden the ANC because it will tell them that they can, if they wanted to, govern as a minority party, which means that you're not in a formal relationship with any of the political parties, and that as and when you need support in order to get something passed in the National Assembly, you could potentially reach an agreement with the smaller parties. Now, that is complicated to manage because presumably when you get to each of those agreements, the smaller parties are going to want something in return. They're not simply going to support every time and not ask for something. And what they may ask for is cabinet seats, etc. Then you've got the uncertainty that if the DA did decide to exit the government of national unity, how do you deal with that in terms of who do you appoint into those cabinet posts and what are the implications for your policy agenda? There's nothing that says that the ANC would suddenly lurch to the left in terms of their policy agenda if the DA leaves the government of national unity. I would argue that a lot of the policies that are currently in place are the policies that the ANC had in place before the government of national unity was formed, and that the hope was that the government of national unity and the inclusion of the DA would hasten the delivery or the implementation of this policy agenda, which it has a little bit, but it hasn't really in a substantial way. And so I think it's entirely feasible that the ANC simply sticks to the current policy agenda and goes it alone. Now, the DA is going to have to make a difficult decision over the next couple of days. They can presumably still stay within the GNU, but if you stay within the GNU, what it means is that you're simply a passenger. You're not in charge, you're not driving, you're not deciding on the direction, you're simply along for the ride. Now, that's an uncomfortable position to be in. So anytime there's a significant disagreement on policy direction, and you as the DA, you disagree with the ANC, it's going to be difficult for you to flex your muscle to say, well, I don't like this, and if I don't like this, I'm not going to support it, because the ANC can simply argue, well, you said that with the budget and we got it done anyway. And so it does weaken your position in terms of the government of national unity. If you exit the government of national unity, obviously then you've got other risks that come into play, particularly around foreign investors' perception of South Africa's political stability, a concern about where government policy could end up going, and financial markets would presumably react even more adversely than they have already to a breakup of the GNU. So there's a lot of political uncertainty that has materialized as a result of this vote. So effectively what's happened is you've dampened down the uncertainty regarding government finances and the budget framework, but you've ramped up the political uncertainty in a very substantial way. And that's not a great outcome, because the political uncertainty can do a lot more damage to South Africa's financial markets and to the general investment outlook. And things like credit ratings will be re-looked at, because clearly if you don't have a stable government, then it's difficult to up a country's credit rating, just as an example. So I think this is a difficult political environment we're going to enter into. I can see the political parties immediately after the vote saying, well, we've got clarity on how the budget's going to be implemented and at least we can move forward. I think that's very short-term thinking. While we do have clarity on how the budget will be implemented, what we don't have is clarity on how the political framework is going to be managed. So financial markets reacted badly through this whole process. During the day, the rand weakened by just over 2%. The bond market weakened, the equity market weakened. Now, some of that may in part be related to the uncertainty around the tariff announcement by President Trump. But I think it is telling us a message, and that is markets don't like uncertainty. And I think we're going to be into a heightened phase of political uncertainty for a while. And even beyond that, we're going to be a bit unsure about what is the policy agenda of South Africa and how determined are they to implement that. Clearly, if down the line there were to be a decision by the ANC to then enter into another GNU with the MK or the EFF party, that would change the framework enormously. So remember what caused the initial positive feel around the last election outcome. It wasn't the fact that they formed a government of national unity with the DA. It was more that the ANC chose not to form a political alliance with the MK or the EFF party. That's what created the initial positive feel. And you could argue at this stage that persists. The ANC had an opportunity this time to partner with the EFF or the MK in order to get the vote through the National Assembly, and they didn't do that. So you could argue out of all of this that there's a low probability that the ANC would now lurch to the left and try and find different allies. I think there's a higher probability that they remain in a GNU with the smaller parties, that perhaps they don't represent quite 50% of the total vote, but they probably feel that they can manage it on that basis. And if they do come up with some sort of crisis, see if they can't reach a compromise. I doubt you're going to see now that the ANC decides that its best course of action is to partner with the EFF or the MK. So I hope that makes some sense. And we'll chat soon.